We're pleased now to be joined by Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. How about you guys?
Doing fine. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate that. Several things to cover on the Tennessee front. We found out that this morning that Cade Mays has that appeal had not yet been filed until last week. So with all the scuttlebutt about, hey, how could Georgia get a quarterback from Southern Cal cleared? The Mays appeal was I don't know if I should say delayed. I know they were trying to be thorough. But, Rob, I will say I'm surprised that it wasn't filed until last week. What about you?
Yeah, a little surprised, Jimmy, but I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think it's a comment on you know, whether or not he'll get eligible or not. But, yeah, I mean, just simply the fact that, you know, it hadn't been filed previously was surprising.
Yeah. Also, in terms of Tennessee, Juroš Plavšić arriving last night. He's got to go into quarantine. I guess that's good news. At least he got back in the country.
Yeah, it is. You know, and again, I don't think that's a huge deal. I mean, in fact, I think one of the reasons that, you know, Juroš and Santiago Muscovy, who are still in Santiago, is still not here, kind of delayed their arrival was simply, you know, they were able to do more at home than they'll be able to do, you know, here in Knoxville as far as working on their game. I know both guys were playing in regular high-level pickup games with, you know, professionals from, you know, their respective countries, members of the national team that could be able to work with their own, you know, trainers on, you know, skill work, which is, you know, not going on here in Knoxville. You know, guys are they all have their own basketballs that they're sharing. They're not playing five-on-five pickup, and the coaches aren't able to work with them yet in the off-season and on individual stuff as they normally do.
What do you expect out of Plavšić this year?
I think that's a big mystery. I mean, I know a lot of fans, you know, he wasn't what they expected a year ago. To me, I just look at the progress that guys in this program had made. You know, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield. I mean, nobody's progressed more than John Fulkerson has from the time he was a freshman until last year, becoming a guy that, you know, led your team and scored and was a second-team All-SEC player, somebody that to drop 27 points in Rupp Arena against a good Kentucky team. So simply because of what Tennessee has been able to do in regards to player development, I think that Plavšić, I think it's way too early to write him off. And I guess my expectations are that he'll be a quality backup to Fulkerson in the middle. You know, what does that mean in terms of stats? I don't know. But I do expect him to be better.
Rob, Josiah Jordan James seems to be a big believer in Victor Bailey. What'd you make of his comments?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, interesting practices. And Vincent is a just, you know, he's right behind East Pons, in my opinion. He's probably just the best pure athlete on the team in terms. Well, I guess with Keon Johnson being here now, I might have to back up that comment. But he is a really good athlete. Just can fly. You know, I don't know if he's probably not faster than Jordan Bone, up just getting up and down the court with the ball, but he's, you know, he's in that same zip code. He is a really, really top-notch athlete. I think he'll be Tennessee's best on-ball defender in terms of point guard. I think Keon Johnson has got a chance, even as a freshman, to be Tennessee's best defensive player in terms of being able to guard multiple positions, being able to be a shot blocker at 6'6", just as long as he is. But I think Bailey, as far as guarding opposing point guards, I think that'll be a big upgrade. Something Tennessee struggled with a lot last year after Lamonte Turner you know, shut it down in December. And, you know, not a knock on Muscovy, but that he had problems keeping some of the more athletic point guards in front of him last year. And I think that's something that Bailey will excel at.
Rob, Jimmy, and others probably have asked you this before, but just so for those that haven't heard, or maybe you change your mind on it, what would be a first game starting five for Rick Barnes, do you think, right now?
I think you pencil in Fulkerson and Pons, and then after that, I think you've got a ton of competition. I think it's very unsettled. For me personally, I think it's going to be hard to keep Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson out of that starting five. Now whether Rick, you know, wants to make them earn that and, you know, doesn't start, you know, the freshman immediately, I don't know about that, but I think those two guys would be two of the best five players on the team immediately. And then, you know, I think it's a battle between Viscovi, Josiah, and Santiago for who's going to start at point guard. I mean, Springer can do some of that for you, but I think he's much better off the ball, just worrying about being a pure scorer. But So Pons, right now, if it's me, I would go Pons, Fulkerson, Jaden, Keon Johnson, and either probably Bailey or Josiah. And I think it will be an intense battle.
And I think you'd mentioned Vescovi and James, and I was going to ask you about Bailey, but you think Bailey's a potential starter.
I do, Jimmy, for defensive purposes more than anything. I mean, you know how much Rick values defense, and I think Bailey is probably going to be head and shoulders above those other two guys in terms of being able to be an on-the-ball defender against opposing point guards. Now, I don't think he's a pure point guard, but you see that a lot in college basketball. I do think he's really made the effort, during the year that he was sitting out to adopt more of that mindset. He calls himself a combo guard. I mean, he's certainly capable of being your primary ball handler. But I think in the past he's been more of a scorer than a facilitator. But this team will need him to be more of a guy that wants to get others involved.
They need him to get others more involved. But do you think he is capable of being a good scorer for Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. He's a good three-point shooter. I mean, shot nearly 40% from behind the arc at Oregon. I mean, he can get in the paint. He can finish. Can certainly knock down open shots. So, yeah, he is not – that's not a deficit in his game at all.
We were told by a source today that Jeremy Banks has an opportunity to return to the team. If he does certain things, it might be 3 weeks out. Your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, I think the path has been open there for quite a while, Jimmy, from what I have been hearing for a long time. I think that he's certainly, if you follow him on some of the social media stuff, he's made steps to, be conciliatory to try and repair his image, after the incident that happened last year. And I anticipate that he'll be a part of the team when things hopefully get rolling in August and Tennessee can use him. Inside linebacker depth is it's an issue for this team, I think, trying to identify, guys. Certainly, Henry T pencil him in to probably be the best player of the defense. But after that, you got some question marks. Morris Crouch is absolutely talented, but he's transitioning to that position after playing on the edge last year. He played inside some, but that's due to him. J.J. Peterson has been kind of an X factor that fans have been waiting on to see if the light bulb will come on for him. So he'll have an opportunity to play there, but certainly they need Banks and maybe a couple other guys.
If Banks is reinstated, that puts Tennessee, again, well over the 85 limit. But Brent Hubbs keeps telling me not to worry about that. So I guess I shouldn't, should I?
I'm listening to Hubbs on that one too, Jimmy. I think that I think Jeremy probably has a plan. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't whittle that down in time for fall practice.
Yeah, I would think so. I guess Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com. If you got a question or comment, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We'll have more with Rob when we come back. Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Guys, I'm bringing the party to you.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Vince Farrar, I guess, Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com.
Rob, where's Tennessee in the search for another cornerback to add to this 2021 class?
Nylon Green is the guy, Vince, that I think that's the dream scenario. Mm-hmm. Young man out of Georgia. I think they're in that, but that's a long way from being a laydown or anything of that note. Highly regarded guy, Clemson is in there pushing hard. Certainly hanging around Auburn. So that's, if they could just pick the guy, I would say that's the guy at the top of their board. Kind of an under-the-radar guy that Tennessee likes a lot that hasn't gotten kind of the publicity that Green has is Demarius McGee out of Pensacola, Florida. Tennessee was one of the first to offer him. Since things have kicked up a little bit, Ole Miss and Georgia have come in on the heels of Tennessee offering. But I think McGee is probably the most likely, and Nylon Green would be the if Tennessee could just pick a guy out there, that's the guy that they would want.
Back to hoops and recruiting there. Any update on any of those big-time targets that Rick Barnes and his staff were in on, the Kennedy Chandlers and some of those guys? Any movement or identified shorter lists for any of those guys for Tennessee?
I mean, not really an update, but there just seems to be a growing buzz that that Tennessee is the team to beat for Kennedy Chandler. I mean, kind of, you know, national, more and more national pundits, guys that cover recruiting, you know, on a big picture scale, seem to think that Chandler is a heavy Tennessee lean right now. Now, I'm not under the impression that Kennedy's in a real hurry to do anything, but I think the sentiment out there right now seems to be that if Chandler was to decide today, that Tennessee would be in a good spot, and that would be a home run. I mean, as well as Rick has recruited in the past couple of years, Chandler will be the highest rated guy that Tennessee signed. He's the top ranked point guard of the class, number 10 overall. You know, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, everybody is clamoring for him, and that's kind of like a quarterback. If you could get him, it would really help you with some other guys, in particular Jabari Smith, who's I don't want to compare a high school kid to Kevin Durant, but he's a 6'10 kid that can shoot it, that can handle the ball, you know, and has that kind of game where he can step out and do some things offensively. I think he's rated number 5 in the class. I think if you get a point guard like Kenny Chandler, who is a facilitator as opposed to a score first point guard, then that's an attractive scenario for somebody like Jabari Smith to go play with somebody he knows is going to help him get shots up. Certainly, the biggest name out there is the number 2 prospect in the country, Paolo Banchero from out in Seattle. Tennessee continues to be heavily involved with him, but he's from Seattle. He's got the same kind of guys chasing him that Chandler does: Gonzaga, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke. I think that's a little tougher pull just because of the competition and the distance from home. But he and Chandler are buddies. I mean, they've talked about, you know, maybe wanting to play together in college. But they're not a package deal. I don't want to put that you know, kind of sentiment out there. I think Banchero will be a tougher pull. But Jabari Smith, who is from right outside of Atlanta, I think that was a little more likely. I think it's important to his family that, you know, they're able to hop in the car and go watch him play, which they certainly be able to do it not just in Knoxville, but in a lot of other SEC places. It would be easy. And that's one that kind of strangely, you know, all the blue bloods haven't really jumped in there. I mean, North Carolina's involved. Duke is sniffing around, but that's the only official visit he took as a junior was to Knoxville. Tennessee got him in town right before things shut down at the end of March. I think made a really strong impression. And I wouldn't completely rule out LSU. His father played there, was a really good player in the late 90s, same name. And but right now, I think Tennessee's in a really good spot for Kennedy Chandler. And if they get Chandler, I think it really helps him with Jabari Smith.
Let's go to the phones where Steve is our next caller. Steve, you're on with Rob Lewis.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Rob, talk about this Gooch kid, offensive line, of course, out of East Tennessee. Talk about him a little bit. And also the Slaughter kid that we signed in this past class. Do you think that he's somebody that can contribute to the team pretty well as a true freshman?
And that's what Start with Gooch, plays at Tiny Kings Academy out in Seymour. He's a huge guy, 6'8", 340 pounds. You know, Tennessee is, you know, he committed to Auburn way back in April, committed early. I think Tennessee was a little, I would imagine, upset that, you know, he didn't give them more of a chance. But Tennessee has not stopped recruiting him. Certainly, you know, offensive line remains a need in this class, and he's a guy that they have kept the heat on. You know, whether they can flip him or not, I don't know, but they are certainly trying, and it's a long way until signing day. So I wouldn't say Tennessee's out on that one at all. As far as Slaughter, he's been he ended up, you know, being somewhat highly rated. He was really an under the radar kind of guy, defensive back out of Georgia. I like him a lot, and one of the reasons Chad Simmons, who was our one of our Southeast regional guys, I've known Chad for a long time. He does a great job. He's not just somebody that works the phones. He gets in his car, goes out, you know, sees a lot of games, sees a lot of practices, and he is really high on Slaughter likes him a lot. I know that's one of the reasons that I'm a fan of him. He's 6 foot, 180, got good size. I think probably maybe more of a safety than a quarter, but I think he'll have a chance to contribute immediately on special teams. Yeah, I like that kid a lot.
All right. Okay. Well, okay then. What would it be if they had have another December signing date? How many months? Quite a few. So who knows what's going to happen. And they're not going to have high school football, are they, fellas? I mean, seriously.
It's still on the table.
It's still on the table. Too early to say. Alabama and Georgia have said that they're going to have it already. They're 4 feet ahead in those two states.
Right. Well, one other question. A friend of mine down here keeps up recruiting said there is a junior college kid at one of the junior in Oklahoma. I thought he said he was a defensive back and said Tennessee really likes him. And it would be in this next class, the one going on now. And I was wondering if you knew about somebody like that.
Steve, that was not ringing a bell, but that does not mean it's not true.
Yeah. Well, this person down here, the only one I've ever heard talk about this kid was him, so I'm really not sure what the deal is there. So anyway. Well, okay. Well, Rob, I missed you yesterday, and I was told that you'd probably be on today, and I was told that Mike Keith gets y'all's 4 o'clock time on Tuesdays. So I catch to make sure you was all on at 3.
Yeah.
And good to hear from you, to talk to you. And I think our recruiting is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Hey, Steve, we appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right. Let's go to Alan ahead of a break. Alan, you're on with Rob Lewis.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Hey.
Rob, you've answered most of my basketball questions. But one more that I've got for you. Are you familiar with a kid by the name of Reed Satterfield out of Greenville, Tennessee?
I am not.
Okay. Okay, well, he's a 2022 kid. He's a 6'2", 6'3", two guard. And before they shut down the state tournament, he put 42 points on the board. And, of course, they didn't get to go to Murfreesboro. But
I remember seeing that, but as far as like a prospect, I have not heard, you know, recruiting scuttlebutt, but I do remember seeing where the kid from Greenville went for 40.
Yeah. I just wondered if you had any buzz on him at all, and I know he's ranked in the 20s in the state of Tennessee right now, but he sure got a shot. Going to football, the Peyton Page out of Greensboro, and the kid out of South Carolina slips my mind. Yes. Do you think we're going to get either one of those guys?
I think they have a much better shot with Dawkins right now. I mean, and Page hasn't come out and said anything, but just the recent buzz seems to be suggesting that Clemson is positioned themselves pretty well. You know, they waited. I think they tried to push him early. I think that kind of turned him off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee took advantage of that. And then I think Clemson, you know, kind of showed a little more patience, took some of the pressure off. And right now it feels like that it's going to be Clemson. I think they have a much better shot with Ingram Dawkins. That one kind of feels like it's Tennessee or South Carolina. You certainly can't dismiss the in-state school. But, and Ingram Dawkins, I think, was ready to pick Tennessee last month when he was talking about making a decision. I think the Vols were the team to beat. I think South Carolina kind of threw the kitchen sink at him to get him to wait, hold off, and let them hopefully get him on campus again, obviously with the dead period extended until the end of August at least. That hasn't happened. But I like Tennessee's chances with Ingram Dawkins, so I certainly don't think it's a lock.
Yeah, I've got you. Is there any other defensive tackle out there that I'm not seeing that you think they're in on at all?
Well, this is this is a little, I mean, not that he's new to the board, but I think Tennessee's gotten some momentum here is with Tywan Malone. And, you know, that's going to be a tough one. He's from Jersey. He's a top 50 national player. A lot of people think Ohio State is the team to beat there, but I mean, he's got everybody, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Michigan, and Penn State from up in that area. But Tennessee has made a recent push there. I think he's shown quite a bit of interest, but that's a big name on the defensive tackle board to keep in mind.
Okay, two guys that we've already got that I just like a little progress report on. The big kid that was like 350 pounds coming out of Pearl Cone in Nashville. How is he doing? And also the kid out of Memphis, Omari. I know that there was some confusion about whether or not he was an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. Give me the scuttlebutt on those two, and I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, I think Omari definitely starts out on defense for sure. I think he's got a chance to be a good one. And the thing I like about Omari, I mean, among the other things that I like about Omari Thomas, besides just being, you know, a huge human being, he was a really good high school basketball player. In fact, he was a teammate of Kennedy Chandler, team that made the state finals, lost to Catholic. I like Thomas a lot. He's 6'5", 301, but he moves pretty well. And I think he has. I think defense is where. I think he's got a bright future there. The kid out of Nashville, I guess he means Elijah Simmons that was already on campus last year as a freshman. You know, without spring practice or, you know, any kind of open observation period, I don't really have an update on it. But I think he's a guy. I think he's got to get his weight down a little bit. But he's a logan. I think he has a chance. You know, in the 3-4, I think he has a chance to be a solid, you know, nose guard.
Rob, would you rather talk recruiting or fly fish?
I would rather fly fish.
How'd it go yesterday?
It went really well. It went really well. Good day in the water with my son.
Yeah. Get some trout?
Got some trout. We did.
Very good. Very good. Hey, Rob, always great to catch up with you. Thank you for joining us. Look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rob. That's Rob Lewis, the Jed Dance of Rivals. With this fly fishing yesterday, that's where he went. And good for him. He had a chance to get out and do that with his son.